Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for what you're doing among us, O Lord. Just wonderful miracle after miracle. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, that we can report your grace to our brethren today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to call this God is Sovereign to Meet Our Needs, number 3. And this first article, myself and Michael Hare and Brandy Arney put our heads together to share this tremendous miracle, or miracles, I should say. So, David said, in the end of November, we had a call from the water company that our water usage had drastically increased over 2 months. At that time, we went to where our meter was located with the help of our neighbor who knew where the meter was because it was on the other side of his property. And then we looked for the leak by digging a few holes where he said the line was, but we never could find the line. The meter is located 0.38 miles from our house. So there's a long line there. And after looking for the leak for about an hour or so, David suggested that we just believe God to repair the leak as we did 10 years before, when God repaired a terrible leak on this line of 10,000 gallons of water per month. And the realtor could not find the leak, and then he asked us to fix it. And I told the realtor at that time, hey, we're just renters here, because it looked like really an impossible thing to find. And his reply was, well, if you can't find it, then you probably need to find another place to rent. Well, at that time, the owner was paying the water bill. And the water line went through woods and overgrown field and seemed impossible to find, since all water sinks into the rocky ground here. It doesn't necessarily come to the surface. It doesn't leak to the surface as in most places. All the water that runs down the side of this mountain has made a very deep and wide gully from our house down to the road at the base of the mountain where it dead ends. And all of that water goes into the grounds along the way. And that's a lot of water. I noticed that one day when I saw a culvert going underneath the road, but it didn't come out on the other side. I asked a neighbor over there, has he ever seen any water come out on the other side? He says, no. I said, then it all dead ends right there. That's amazing. It all just goes right in the ground. So you can see that finding a leak, even a large one, can be impossible without special equipment. So we decided that since we were supposed to be here by God's direction, we commanded the leak to cease in Jesus' name, which we've done before, like we did with Bob Acardi's swimming pool, and so on and so forth, you know. So David then told the realtor that leased the house for the owner that God repaired the leak. He said that he had never heard of God doing anything like that. And I replied, well, you have now, so watch the bill and you'll see. And from that day until now, we have had a normal water bill. So now this new report, it's from 12/14/22 to 12/16/22, 2 days. We saw these miracles. Four, sometimes five people are witnesses to these miracles, depending upon what time during that particular time they were connected with us. We even had a water company man that was working with us. And so our combined recollection, here it is. Tass Water Company performed a supply line flush at our end of the supply line, because we are at the end of the supply line. We're on the top of a mountain. And when this happened, our neighbor called us to tell us to flush our faucets. As we went to do this, we discovered we had no water at all. The breaker in the garage for the multi-stage water pump that pumps it up to the top of the mountain here was tripped. Well, when we went down and pulled the concrete cover off of the water pump concrete vault, because it's like a vault there, and the pump and the motor was in there, and it was all piped up in there with a big heavy concrete cover over the top of it. We found that the water was flooding and overflowing the vault. The motor and pump were underwater, which shorted the motor and tripped the breaker. Then we called the water company to turn off the water at the meter, which again was a long ways from us. Okay. We then repaired the leak from the supply line to the pump at the vault. And then by phone, we had the water company worker turn it back on, which he did. But he turned it on all of a sudden. And when he did, the air in the pipes, which he said was 80 pounds per square inch, blew the 1-inch water supply PVC pipeline apart at the coupling on the top of the pump. The water was only about 25 to 30 pounds per square inch, he said, but behind the air, but air compresses and water doesn't, and air is a lot harder to hold in PVC lines. So Brandy said, we three were standing over the pump when the pipe blew, and it went off like a shotgun. when he set the water to us, you know. Okay, so we repaired that pipe right on top of the pump and told the water company worker to turn it back on, but slowly. Well, no water came to the pump. The worker told us at that time that water was flowing full pipe from the meter, but we had no water at the pump end at all. We waited for some time, but no water or even air came. And Brandy said, as I waited at the pump, David and Michael went up to the house to open the faucets and to turn the pump breaker on in order to listen for any air or water movement in the pipes or faucets. And when they switched on the breaker for the pump started whirring, which it makes a noise like that when it doesn't have any water in it, you know. I listened for any sounds of water coming through the pump and heard nothing. I waited for approximately 1 minute, and the pump started squealing loudly, and I said to Michael over the phone, turn it off. Brandy said, I was on the phone with the water company employee who was approximately 200 yards away across the field of the neighbor's property where the meter is. And after I told him that we had no water coming into the pump from the supply side, the water worker then said, oh, no, that means there is a pipe break between here and there underground. Brandy said, my heart kind of sank at that point. I heard the enemy say, you have broken the line completely and burned up the pump. So we three had been out there in the dark for a while, he said, getting rained on, and we had already had a tough time getting it all back together anyway, and now this. It was cold, and after hearing this and seeing in the natural what had happened, I went home somewhat discouraged. So let's go back to Michael here. Michael said, "So we knew that the water line had blown apart completely because there was no water or even air coming out at the pump end. It was totally separated. And even separated underground, you might think you would go through the ground and find the other pipe and you'd have something coming out. But no, there was nothing coming out. So the leak was somewhere between the meter and the pump, about 3 feet underground. And the line was partially in our woods at the bottom of the mountain and approximately 200 yards or so across an overgrown field of briars, saplings, and on the neighbor's property. The water company worker suggested we call a man that could find the leak for us with a listening device that he had, which would cost between $400 and $800. Then he left to go home. But we knew that it would cost much more than that because of the length of the pipe involved and where it was located in an impassable territory. Okay. So the next morning, David and I, Michael said, went down and repaired the pipe on the discharge side of the pump line, which could have cracked when the blowout occurred. David said, Barry had given us a water valve wrench to turn the water on and off at the meter, so we didn't need to call the waterman at that time. We commanded the leak between the meter and the pump to be repaired in the name of Jesus and praised the Lord for this miracle, as we did all the way through this thing with miracles. Then Michael went down to turn on the water to the pump at the meter and then walked back up to the pump, and water started coming into the pump, which was an impossibility, naturally speaking, because the line had been totally broken in two and wasn't even going into the far side of the line to come to us as dirty water or even air. It just nothing. It was that bad. And as you think that's crazy, well, no, it's not in this territory. There's huge rocks all down there and all the way up this mountain. It's very porous. All the water goes into the ground. Yeah. So Father had answered our prayer and praise. Hallelujah. He fixed it. Then Michael went to the house to turn the pump breaker on. So, see, that was just part of it. Getting the line back together under the ground, 1-inch line under the ground. That was the first miracle right there. Okay. Michael said, when the pump started, David said by phone, shut it off. The motor is smoking. It's turning very slow. Well, there's usually a reason for that. It had lost a phase of its 230 volts. The winding was burnt, okay, on the motor. And I supervised an electric motor shop at Exxon, and when a motor shorts or burns the windings, it never gets better in the natural. Not possible, okay, because you've got the windings that run the motor burnt out, a short, a dead short. Of course, it had water all in it, you know, okay. So you have to rewind the windings to renew the motor again. And also, motors don't run long after being underwater unless you take them apart and you dry them out. We would take a stator winding and stick it in an oven overnight at 400 degrees to dry all the water out of it before even attempting to put any voltage through it, because otherwise it would blow up the windings. So the water creates a short in the windings that burns them up and smokes. You can always tell when a winding is burnt by just smelling it. okay? But we were acting on our faith, so we didn't do things normally at all. We left a note here, both David and Michael have professional experience with electric motors. This is true. So there's no way that a motor would heal itself. It's just not possible, you know, in the natural. Okay. So by faith, we let it cool down for a moment. And after it cooled down, we prayed and praised the Lord and tried it again. And it smoked worse than before because obviously it was arcing bigger and bigger gaps in the wiring, you know. And then the breaker, of course, broke. This is all very natural. That's what you would expect. Okay. And then Michael said, David told me by faith, let's put the concrete lid on the pump vault. In other words, as though it were all fixed. So we got the pump that was squealing because the wear rings are rubbing in there because there wasn't any water in it when it ran. And now we got the motor burnt up. So I said, let's put the concrete lid on the pump and go to the house to turn it on. So this was an act of faith, actually. This was with a blown motor and a damaged pump. Well, we already had the water coming to it, so we had that part solved by the grace of God. And there was no natural chance for this to run. None. So we drove up to the house, and as we went, we commanded the pump motor to be rewound and rewired and the seals to hold on the motor and the pump, because if you run them dry, you can burn the seals up too, and then you can't keep water out. Water in the pump and out of the motor. So, and the pump wearings and the bushings to be repaired. We commanded it in Jesus' name. Because of the squealing, of course, we knew that the wear rings were rubbing, which they're never supposed to do. But that happens if you run it dry. And we praise God for the answer. And then when we got to the house, we reset the breaker to turn the pump on. Well, at that time, at that moment, of course, there still was no water at the house. And David said, I think Michael wrote this part up. He said, David said, I'm going to take a shower. So I went outside, Michael said, and shut the outside faucets off, which we had opened to bleed the air out of the line, but there was nothing coming out. And I came back inside. And David stuck his head out of his bedroom door and said, Michael, please reset the breaker one more time. So I reset the breaker and went back inside. Then I heard David shout from his bathroom that he had water. Yes, I had full water. So another miracle. A pump and motor worked that were not supposed to work, okay, that naturally speaking couldn't work. So he said, I asked David if we should turn the water heater back on that had been off for 2 days. So the water was cold. The air was cold, the water was cold, everything was cold. And David said, yes, of course, I'm not going to take a shower under that, okay? David reported that as he turned on the shower, the water was immediately hot, okay? Well, it takes in the natural for, if you've already got a hot water heater and it's already heated up, in the natural, it takes a couple of minutes to get the hot water to come, okay? But in this case, it came hot immediately, and the hot water pump, hot water heater was off for 2 days. So this was another miracle. After the water heater had been off for 2 days, and it was very cold, okay. Then the next morning, we were tested again. The water went off, and there was no water coming to the house again. So David said, "We both rebuked Satan and commanded the water to come back on in Jesus' name and praised the Lord for it." Then it came on. Then just before the meeting, it went off, and we both rebuked Satan and commanded it back on in the name of Jesus, and it came on. And it's working wonderfully right now. Praise the Lord. So we praise the Lord all the way through this thing. We thank the Lord and praise the Lord for the answer all the way through it. So not knowing that the Lord had fixed the water situation, Brandy went up to our house, and neither Michael nor I were home at the time, and Brandy went around the back side of the house, and as he passed by the water spigot, he reached down to turn it on, and the water came out as strong as ever. And during this whole ordeal, Michael and I praised the Lord for fixing our water supply. And he was our faithful God. Amen. I had witnessed to the neighbor, who, by the way, is a Baptist pastor, about the first miracle of the Lord fixing 10,000 gallons a month leak. He didn't say anything when I told him about it. And then he asked Brandy this time if we fixed the leak, and Brandy said, "No, the Lord did." Then he asked Michael separately the same thing, and Michael told him the story of how the Lord fixed the leak. He didn't say a word. Okay. So then we get this testimony of God's miraculous provision. Dirk Olofsson, 12/16/22. "Thank you for Friday evening's meeting. It was a real blessing and faith building hearing the testimonies." Of course, this included the water supply miracles, right? "God is awesome. I also have one I would like to share. Our house is fitted with a gas stove, and we had 2 20-pound gas bottles, which is very helpful with all the many power outages that we currently have here in South Africa. Normally, a 20-pound bottle would last us between 1 to 3 months. For some time here in town, there have been a lot of thefts happening of garden equipment and gas bottles, etc. So during that time, the one gas bottle that was connected outside of our home was taken from our yard while we were away for a few days. And when we returned, we noticed that the bottle was missing. We heard from other people that they had experienced the same issue of things going missing. So we came against the spirit of theft and also vandalism. And you might want to come against terrorists, too, whenever you got gas bottles missing and they're collecting them. But they've done that before. They'll set them off somewhere and make a big explosion. So going on with Dirk here, the theft issue did eventually stop. Praise the Lord. When I connected up to the last gas bottle, I laid hands on it and blessed it and commanded that it would just last longer, since it was the only one we had left. A few months had passed, and I picked the bottle up one day to feel it, if it were any gas left inside, and it was as light as a feather, meaning, of course, it was naturally empty. Naturally empty. Okay. Paula then asked me if we should have it refilled, and I said, "No, it's not necessary. We prayed and we asked Father that this bottle would just last, so it will." There's your good confession. Faith without works is dead, you know, your good confession. We then continued on using it as normal. Well, it's been 12 months now. Since we haven't changed it yet, it is still going strong with almost everyday use. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your provision. Yes, and we shared Several years ago, we witnessed the same thing with a bottle here that ran our refrigerator years ago. And awesome. Just kept on going and going and going and going like a never-ready battery, right? Okay. So, this is from Samuel Fire on 10/4/22. He's called it Walking the Tightrope Between Faith and Fear. Yes. The Lord reminded me of the time on the UBM outreach when someone shared a testimony about a man that walked on a tightrope across Niagara Falls with a wheelbarrow of bricks. When remembering it, I had a vision of the man at Niagara Falls that walked on the tightrope, and there was a crowd of people watching him, and he asked the crowd, "Who wants to get into the wheelbarrow as I walk across on the tightrope?" I was in the crowd watching, and I stood forward and said, "I will," feeling God wanted to test my faith. But I was suddenly struck with thoughts and feelings of fear and doubt and unbelief. Yeah, you betcha. Thoughts of what could go wrong and that I shouldn't do it, etc., right? And there was a big battle in my mind with fear, and I had to constantly cast down the enemy and all of his lies. I kept trying to abide in Father's peace and rest, thinking on the Word the whole time. This was a real trial. As they were getting prepared for me and the man to cross, he asked me, "Are you ready?" "Yes," I responded, but I was not as calm and sure as I wanted to be. Then the journey began of the man pushing me in a wheelbarrow across the tightrope. I was getting attacked with such intense fear, anxiety, doubt, and constantly battling those thoughts and feelings. Well, that's what you have to do. You have to battle them, cast them down. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, right? Cast it all down. Keep confessing the truth. Keep praising and giving thanks to the Lord for the victory. Amen? Yes. I was trying to only focus my mind on Jesus and His Word and presence, knowing that Jesus is in me and all around me and in everything, so there is nothing to fear. I was telling myself, "Father is closer to me than my own breath, and He is in control of everything, and I only have to have Him to trust. My whole life and situation depends on Him." Well, fear just makes everything worse, and it is a lie that Jesus has already defeated. Praise God. Yes, amen. And as we were going along the tightrope, the man with me in the wheelbarrow fell off the rope and started falling down. I thought, God is in control, and His will be done. I felt His presence and peace, knowing that He was in control. I then saw myself back on the tightrope in the wheelbarrow, realizing that us falling was just my imagination, thank God. Or some imagination that the devil put in the mind, right? It's still a test, right? There's your test right there. It's common to get a test when you start to believe God for something miraculous, you know, it's common. And even afterwards, after you get the miracle, He wants to test you to make sure you, to see if you'll back away, you know, because you're walking by sight, right? So I felt this whole vision was about the fact that it doesn't matter what we see or feel. We can be calm through every life situation. It reminded me of the Lord Jesus when He was sleeping in a boat during a storm. Yes, that was good. He was in total rest, right? So, is there anything keeping you from your miracle? Usually the spoken words of faith and other actions will prove it, right? Mark 11:23-24 says, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Speak it, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them." And James 2:26 says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead." Your miracle is not going to come to pass until you believe it and speak it or walk it out. You know, there's got to be some actions of faith there. So, praise ye the Lord. The angel showed us how to praise God from the heart. And the way he wants. And they told us to never go back to our dead ways, or enemies would again take advantage of us. So who are we to have an opinion contrary to the word? Romans 3:4 says, "God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment." Yes, when judgment is happening all around you, make sure your words justify you, and cast down any thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. So what the angels told us was just what the word commands. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of the lips, which makes confession to his name." Confession means to speak the same as, right? Psalm 103:1-4. It's a psalm of David. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Got to keep those benefits in your mind, right? "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Psalm 109:30. "I will give great thanks unto the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise him among the multitude." See, it's not just speaking to yourself, faith, right? It's confessing him before men. And Psalm 111:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart, in the council of the upright and in the congregation." With my whole heart. This is what the Lord is asking, and this is what the angels were telling us too, by the way. Don't go back to that old dead worship. It's worthless. Praise him with your whole heart. Amen. Praise is a language of faith, because praise means to brag about. You're bragging about what God has done, whether you see it yet or not. You're bragging on him, right? Psalm 34:1 says, and this is a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, by the way, and he departed. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Continually. In the congregation, among the peoples, continually. Psalm 71:8, "My mouth shall be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." Psalm 8:2, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast established strength." And this is quoted in the New Testament with the word praise here instead of strength. Praise. Praise makes you strong. Because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. How to still the enemy and the avenger? Praise God. He hates it. He runs from it. Psalm 147, 12 through 14. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates to do what? Keep the enemy out. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders. He filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. And also, Psalm 149, 1 through 9. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. New song, that's one that you never sang before, right? That's one that just comes to your heart, comes out. It's praise. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. That's right. Let them sing praises unto him with timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. As you know, we've studied salvation, and the word means all of your needs supplied. Healing, deliverance, provision. Let the saints exult in glory. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples, and to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Yep, during these miracles as they were coming forth, we were just praising and thanking the Lord. It's a done deal. Psalm 150, 1 through 6 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with trumpet sound, praise him with psaltery and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. And this is powerful to bind the enemy who is constantly trying to bring the curse upon us. And we're not under the curse. Jesus became a curse for us, and we should praise him for it and thank him that it is a done deal. Amen. When I first went to a spirit-filled church, I was restrained in worship and praise because of a fear of man. But after I broke through, it was wonderful freedom. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let me say that sin begins with your thoughts. Okay. Proverbs 23 and 7. For as he thinketh within himself, so is he. Yes. So you think, well, it only matters what I do, what I say. No, it matters what you think, because that's where you can stop it right there. Cast down vain imaginations, right? Matthew 12 and 34 says, you offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, it's what's in your heart first, before you speak, that brings on this curse. In the Old Testament, mostly actions were judged, but in the New Testament, thoughts are judged, for they are who you are, according to this, and what causes all evil actions. Okay? And Luke 6 and 45 says, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. You can tell who a person is by what they say, especially when they don't know anybody's listening. Matthew 12 and 37. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. That means accounted righteous. Let your words cause you to be accounted righteous before God, so that you can have the benefit. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Well, that's because your words prove what is in your heart or your thoughts. Romans 3 and 4, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words, and mightest prevail when thou comest into judgments. Again, let me point something out. When you come into judgment, you need to be justified before God so that you can have the benefit. Forget not all his benefits. So you need to be justified in your words and prevail when you come into judgment. Some people don't prevail. They're destroyed or they're judged or a curse comes upon them or whatever. If you confess the things that are, that's all you're going to have. You need to confess the things that God has given. Amen. And Matthew 15 and 18 says, but the things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man. So what you think in your heart is what defiles you, because then it comes out of your mouth, and it even gets worse then. For out of the heart cometh forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, railings. Well, notice, thoughts are evil and words are more evil. For they hurt others and put evil thoughts in others. And this is why God says, the slanderer will I destroy. James 1 and 19. You know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. The word changes your thoughts. You're reprogramming your mind to think the way God thinks. The word changes your thoughts and transforms the man before becoming an avalanche of bad emotions and actions, right? And Romans 12 and 2, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So faith tames the thoughts and the emotions and the actions in that order, right? In those who are given over to Christ. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, but we all with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we see that we don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in us. And this is a justification by faith. And in it you are justified and accounted righteous so that you may receive the blessing from God. The devil will condemn you. He'll try to get you to give up your justification by faith, but you need to cast all of that down. Amen. Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when Gentiles that have not the law do by nature the things of the law, just because of their conscience, right? These having the law are the law unto themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness therewith, and their thoughts one with another, accusing or else excusing them. Even, let me say, the wicked think it's repugnant to stab people in the back. The wicked do that. They feel that that is repugnant. So when you get factious people that do that, they have no conscience whatsoever. Their thoughts will condemn them because they're believing something they have no legal right to believe. And then they make up anything they want to make up. So, 16 goes on to say, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ. So, secrets of men's hearts are revealed in their words and actions. Because you're thinking about it before you do it. So Matthew 5:19-28 says, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoso shall do and teach them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, in the Old Testament, mostly actions are judged, but in the New Testament, thoughts are judged, for they are who you are and what causes all evil actions. Amen? That's where God wants you to stop it. If you stop it there, it won't become emotional, which is very powerful. And then it won't become actions, which are very powerful too. And verse 21, you have heard that it was said unto them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that everyone who is angry, that's a thought, okay, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. What? So now he's taking it from the action all the way back to the thought, right? And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. So clear your conscience before coming to God. You have needs. You have desires. You have wishes. He said, before you come to me, clear your conscience. Make sure you have done right by others. You can't make things right with some people because they're just plain wicked, you know. And they would, you know, you can try, but it won't do any good. In most cases, you're not held held accountable in that kind of a case, right? Verse 25, agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way. That's the best place to do it, right there, because you don't want to have any time elapsed after there's been an offense, right? Lest happily the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou have paid the last farthing. You have heard it was said, that is, in the law, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So notice this, friends. You might say, well, I've never done this, never done that. But did you do it in your mind? As I've said before, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Now, maybe the first thought that's fired in there, you reject it, right? You just reject it. You cut it off right there. Instead of entertaining it, which is the same thing as doing it, according to what he said right here. Sins come in threes. Evil thoughts lead to evil emotions, which lead to evil actions. Evil thoughts stir up emotions and bring demon possession. Then many evil actions come. Stop it at the thought level. Emotions are harder to stop. Outbursts or railing prove sin in the heart of a person. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to casting down strongholds. Have you got a stronghold? Is there a demonic stronghold in your mind? Well, here's the way. Okay. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. And being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. Because the devil's constantly wanting you to judge other people. But you don't dare do it if you're in sin. Right? Don't get caught judging when you are guilty. For Jesus said you would be judged. In other words, you are bringing judgment on yourself by judging others while you are sinning. Yeah. Genesis 6 and 5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Notice. Imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's why God did the destruction, right? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Yeah. He hears thoughts as though they were out loud. In the spirit realm, that's the way it works. So, your thoughts. Think about this. Would you want the Lord to know your thoughts sometimes? Well, he does. And the angels do too. And the devil does too sometimes. Okay. James 3:1-16. Be not many of you teachers, my brethren, knowing that we shall receive heavier judgment. For in many things we all stumble. If any man stumbleth not in word, the same is a perfect man. Why is that? Because your words reveal your heart. Able to bridle the whole body also, so a person can control themselves. We have to exercise self-control in all things, Paul said, right? And, of course, if you control your thoughts, you will control your body. Now, if we put the horses' bridles in their mouths that they may obey us, we turn about their whole body also. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by rough winds, are yet turned about by a very small rudder, the tongue, right? Whither the impulse of the steersman willeth. So the tongue also is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how much wood is kindled by how small a fire. And the tongue is a fire. The world of iniquity among our members. and is the tongue which defileth the whole body. Your tongue defiles the whole body. Your mind defiles your tongue, right? And the tongue defiles your whole body. And setteth on fire the wheel of nature, or cycle of life. That's sowing and reaping, right? And what you sow, you reap. To have to sow with what you have reaped, right? So when you sow bad, you receive bad in yourself, in your conscience, in your ability, in your nature. And then you're sowing out of that, you see. So you're defiling yourself by your thoughts and, of course, emotions and, of course, actions. And it's set on fire by hell. The hell is what you're receiving. You are from beneath, Jesus said. I am from above. That's right. For every kind of beasts and birds, of creeping things and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. But the Lord can. Put the Lord in your heart, right? It is a restless evil. It is full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we the Lord and Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth cometh forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to so be. Amen. Verse 11. Doth the fountain send forth from the same opening sweet water and bitter? Well, no, if it's bitter, it's all bitter. Right. Can a fig tree, my brethren, yield olives, or vine figs? Neither can salt water yield sweet. Yeah, you put salt in the water, it's all going to be salty. Right. Who is wise and who understanding and understanding among you? Let him show by his good life his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth, because he knows that that's what you're going to do. And this wisdom is not a wisdom that cometh down from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. So all of that curse upon these people starts with their thoughts. They permit themselves thoughts that are illegal according to God. They don't have two witnesses of anything, any sin, and yet they speak it. Oh my. So what are they doing? They're bringing a curse upon themselves. Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. And Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Keep thy heart, Proverbs 4:23 says, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Obviously, there are those who know how to speak acceptably to others, but their heart and their thoughts are evil. They will still be judged for their thoughts and lies. Jeremiah 9:5 says, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Yeah, they say they love you, while they hide that dagger behind their backs, right, and are ready to stab it into yours. In 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and impostors will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In Proverbs 26:24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, but he layeth up deceit within him. But Romans 16:17-19, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly. And by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I rejoice therefore over you, but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. And Lamentations 2:14, thy prophets have seen for thee false and foolish visions, and they have not uncovered thine iniquity to bring back thy captivity, but have seen for thee false oracles and causes of banishment. Yes, indeed. Many deceivers out there, you know. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Well, Father, we thank you for these awesome miracles, and we know we have many more coming. The angels have told us that. Awesome, awesome miracles. And we praise you, Father. Thank you for it. And we thank you, the Lord Jesus, that he is guarding our hearts and filling us with his gifts of faith. Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints.